mentioned many times, I'm going to make a talk or a lecture. I used to wonder what he meant. What else was he going to do if not talk or lecture? And then when I prepare for a meeting like this, I come to a place where I know that if all I do is make a talk or a lecture, it's a flop. It's a total waste of your time and mine. There has to be something beyond just a talk or a lecture. There's a place where you have an experience, and that's quite different than a talk. The experience is a turning away from a
experience.
All of materiality is revealed as a hill with a point on top and nothing on the other side. A shell. And as we waste our precious time trying to climb that hill, we are moving closer to our own destruction. The change of direction is a change in which you sign off from living as effect in effect. From living in this world and of this world. And you begin to turn within, which means you sever your reaction between mind and brain, so that as the brain reports the fever, the pain, the lack, the limitation, the mind refuses to accept the power of effect and can say there is no power in effect, there is only power in cause. And there is no cause in this world. This world is completely devoid of cause. This world cannot even make you deaf because the faculty of hearing is in God. And there is no power in matter to prevent the faculty of God from functioning. But the brain can convince you, and the mind can be convinced by the brain. All of the sensory evidence of the world can convince you you're deaf and you're dumb and you're blind, that you're in torment, and that you're going to die tomorrow, that your life has been a constant torture. And yet, Jesus is saying, stop. Stop this foolishness. There is no power in effect. Power is in cause. And because God is spirit, cause is spirit. And a spiritual cause can only cause a spiritual effect. All spiritual effect is another word for the divine image and likeness of the Father. Spiritual effect is creation. Cause is spirit, and effect must be spirit. And Jesus is therefore revealing when he says to go within, that there is only a spiritual universe, and as long as we live in the brain, the mind will live in its reaction to that which has no existence in God. Now this covers all of us fairly well. No matter how high we may think we are still living in that brain reaction to this world and the mind's reaction to the brain, and then we're trying to do something about the evidence that it dredges up out of this world. And this constitutes our lives. But it can come to us that the within is all there is. And the within is disconnected from the activity of the incoming brain. The within is cause itself. And how can you possibly be connected to cause, which is spirit, and which is perfection itself, and not have that perfection of cause functioning as the perfection of that which is effect? Now we're moving from the inner outward. We're making our turn. We're listening for the still small voice within. We are refusing to honor the outer world. We are saying there is only within. There is no outside. The within is the only reality. The within is cause. And the within causes spiritual effect, and that is my name. I am the divine image and likeness of the Father, and therefore I am spiritual. And I am one with the cause. And because I am one with the cause, that cause being perfect, I am perfect. And whatever the brain brings to me, which would indicate a degree of imperfection, is the false effect. And that which is a false effect must have a false cause. Remove the cause from all effect, and in a moment's wisdom you can see that that which is without cause cannot be real. The world which is not your Father's creation, which is without his cause, must be a false effect. It has no cause. And then all of the ingredients of the world, equally without cause, caused only by the false consciousness, that which is false, that which is not in God, has no power. And therefore the effect that it causes must be illusory. There can be no power in the effects of this world. There can be no power in deafness. There can be no power in blindness. There can be no power in pain. There can be no power in lack or limitation, because these, if they were real, would be controlling the power of vision of the Father, the power of hearing of the Father. And you can never find matter controlling the power of God. Now the change in direction demands a great deal of concentrated effort. It demands a choice between cause and effect, between true cause and false effect, between God and mammon, between spirit and matter, between perfection and good and evil. And you must drive a wedge in there between the mind and the brain, in which you can learn to look at your own brain, which is feeding thought to your mind, and take none of that thought. Take none of it. This rejection of the thought of your brain is the taking no thought, and is the going within, and severs the continuity of world thought as it tries to enter your mind to influence you into a reactive state of living called humanhood, in which your complete 24-hour activity is a reaction to the incoming effect of non-reality. He was really standing there and turning the whole human race within. Because he knew when you turned within, when you took no thought from your brain, when you could look at the activity of the brain, regardless of what the five senses said, and non-react, you would be reunited with cause. You would be reunited with source. And in the union with source, you are one with God again. And the within now flows from source, from the one. Cause is now functioning at the helm of your life. We have not been functioning with cause as the prime mover. We have been in a state of chain reaction from one effect to the next. Even our own response to effect was effect. For that brain that 3-ounce tempter was not created by God. That instrument is merely mechanical. It is created by world thought. And it has been the devil in our midst, separating us from pure cause, pure source. It is responsible from the very earliest time of humanhood for every era that has been presented to us and from which we have allegedly suffered. Now, once you have caught the essence of this, you begin to see that with the human eyes and the human ears, we only hear and see things of the world. We never see and hear the essence of what is there. And now you can see why God is no respecter of persons. That truly means that the substance of God is not in persons. And that is why it is used in that phraseology, God is no respecter. The substance of God is not in persons. The substance of God is not in material effect. Now, this brain takes a long time giving up the ghost. But do you see that as the within reunites you with source, I in the midst of thee am mighty. I in the midst of thee go before thee. Now the perfect cause in you moves through you as the will of the Father, perfecting itself in you. The Word is made flesh instead of the effects of the world. Now that little brain is no longer influenced by the outer. Now the within is turning the tide. How different it is to see the fullness of his message than to think that he came to heal a deaf man, or that he came to make an arm straight or a leg straight. When he came to teach us how to be one with God, how to let the fullness of God flow through us as we reject with intent, with purposefulness, unswervingly, we stand and are steadfast, fasting from the things of this world and saying, thou couldst have no power over me because you are effect. God never created a material universe. The only substance is the substance of spirit. And if God is no respecter of persons, neither am I. Now the turning in you then is when something in you says, this is the way I'm going to go. I've got to be reunited with cause. When there's an understanding of that within you, you're beginning to turn instead of listening to a talk. And then I'm not making a talk. We are witnessing the power of truth in our midst as it turns us away from the false activity of the brain, and something begins to say, I in the midst of me and my Father are one. Now that little healing of the deaf man, the mute, is in Mark 7, begins in the 31st verse, and it's just 4 or 5 verses. It is very important that we reread that again to ourselves many times to get the feeling of it, and then to begin to evolve your principles from it and learn that what he's teaching the deaf man there is that God didn't make a human ear. God didn't make a human eye. God didn't make a human heart. God is one. And therefore, the only ear you have must be the ear of God. The only heart you have must be the heart of God. The only body you have must be the body of God. The only mind you have must be the mind of God. And as long as you're living in the outer, through the brain, you're not being one with the cause of your very existence. You're pushing a car up a hill, and you're not going to get anywhere. Now, this is to take the entire human race, which is evolving Darwinian style, and to turn it. This is to take Darwinian man and say, you're moving in the wrong direction. Your direction this way can only lead to destruction. You cannot continue to move in time and in space. And that is the way the brain will lead you. You cannot continue to move in time and space, and the brain can take you in no other way. And then he lifts us further. He might have said to this man, right now, at this moment, the time is now, is it not? And so right here in this room, for us, the time is now. Now, regardless of what time it is, anywhere on this earth, if the time is 2 hours different or three, or 24 hours different, or 10, wherever there's a person, to him the time is now. Everywhere, for the person who is there, the time is always now. So for every person on earth at this moment, the time is now. Even if their time is different than our time, their time is now for them. Ah, but God is everywhere, so all time is now for God. All time is now for God. But if it's now for God always, there's no time, is there? We are here. But if you were somewhere else right now, that somewhere else for you would be here. Whoever is in this world at this moment, where he is here to him. And God is everywhere, and so everywhere is here to God. But if here is everywhere to God, then to God there is no such thing as anything but here. There is no there to God. When there's here and there, you have space. When there's only here, you have lost space. The brain will keep us in space, but in God there is no space. In God there is no time. In the within, you are here, and you are now. And in the here and the now is the eternal self. Now we're only beginning our turning. And this turning now is the ability to face this brain, this human mind, and to coolly survey everything it says to you, and to know that it's all a lie. All of it, the good and the bad, it is all a lie. It is all effect. It is all about the world. But we're not interested in the world. We're first interested in the kingdom. And then we'll let the kingdom change that world. We will let the kingdom transform our lives by renewing our minds in such a way that our minds are listening to cause, spirit, God, the within. And then the impulses from the within will move out through the brain, and the brain will be turned, delivering into the world the truth of cause, instead of delivering into our mind the lie of effect. This was where Jesus stood. This was where his message stood. This is where we must stand. Now, that's a good beginning. Let's rest a minute and then see where it takes us. Suppose we close our eyes. And with the eyes closed, try with your eyes closed, do everything you can with your eyes closed, not to think of Elvis Presley. Now, don't think of Elvis Presley. That's all I'm asking you to do. That's it. That's the only request. Just don't think of Elvis Presley. Now, really try it. Try not to think of Elvis Presley. And you'll discover the harder you try, the more impossible it becomes. It's the very fact that you're trying not to think of Elvis Presley that makes it impossible. Or maybe you think you can do it. We'll wait another minute. One way or another, your mind begins to say, am I doing it? Am I not thinking of Elvis? And as hard as you try, you're trying not to think of him, and while you're trying not to, you're thinking of him. The very fact that you're trying not to think of him is bringing him to your mind all the time. Now, people tell you to ignore the pain. Don't think of the pain. Don't think of the problem. Just go somewhere or get onto something else. And today I'm telling you just the opposite. I'm telling you that to handle the problem, don't ignore it. Don't ignore it. Face it. Face it and explode the reality of it. Don't just walk away. I know all about instant dismissal. But instant dismissal will only come after you have trained yourself to the realization of the true nature of problems. And at this particular instant, it is very important for us to see that before you are able to instantly dismiss a problem, you must go through much preparation. And that preparation must include the purification in which you can quickly say to yourself, Elvis Presley, well, let's see now. I know that if I try not to think of him, I'll be trying and trying and trying to not think of him. And why would I be doing that except that I'm thinking of him? Suppose I'd explode the myth. Is there a physical selfhood? Is there a reality in the physical form? Where is the divine image and likeness? Now I'm walking through the myth to the reality. I'm not ignoring anything. I'm walking through the pain to the reality of life. Yes, I have a pain. But what is it? It's an activity in my consciousness. And I can't go outside of that consciousness. But suppose I realize that this consciousness must be false. Suppose I go right through this false consciousness to the reality, to the presence of the Spirit, and ask the Spirit, did you put this pain here? I'm not ignoring it, I'm asking you, did you put it here? You'll never get a yes from Spirit. What did Spirit put there? Itself. Is there a pain in Spirit? No. Maybe after you've done this several hundred thousand times, you'll be ready for instant dismissal. But before you try to do that, it is wise not to ignore the problems, pretending they're not there. It is wiser to move directly toward the problem in your consciousness and meet it with the understanding of the reality of it, dissolve it into the nothingness that it is. And then you'll discover that you're taking no thought. Having dissolved the false claim in your consciousness with the knowledge that only God is, that only cause is, you can quickly see after a while that all evil is without cause. Just think of it. There's not an evil on this earth that has a cause. It has false cause, and if you don't know the difference between cause and false cause, you're going to react to the false cause and the false evil that it produces. But if you are grounded in God, if you have done your spiritual homework, if you have met the things of this world with truth in consciousness, not turning away, but overcoming them in consciousness, then you stand there, finally, in the clear light of truth, which says God alone is cause, and therefore that which is evil cannot be caused by God. It has no cause, and then the entire chain reaction of all of the physical things that you think have happened to you, remove the cause, and what have you got? You've got a very painful illusion. Does that remove the pain? Yes, it does. It does remove the pain. When your truth has deepened through experience, when you have learned that the brain can never bring you truth, there is no truth in a human brain. There is only truth in the consciousness of God. When you learn that all error, even an earthquake, is without cause, something in you responds and enables you to stand and look at that which the world calls an avalanche, a destruction, and to know that this is hypnosis. That which has no cause cannot exist, though it can appear to. And you will find you can face your problems of every nature with the knowledge that there are no problems in God, there are no problems in the perfect cause, and there is no other. There is one cause. John made that clear. All things were made by him. Without him, nothing was made that was made. You know, he didn't make avalanches and earthquakes and floods to kill his children. You know, he didn't make a material creation, and therefore the material creation not made by the Father was not made by the only cause. What made it? This little brain ticking away made it. This little 3 ounces of carbon and phosphorus and water, it made this world. Your little 3 ounces and the next ones are all a product of an invisible, non-existent world brain. And now we're seeing very clearly that we can stand on the truth, because the truth reveals there is neither cause nor law nor continuity in that which the world has labeled its problems. And this is how you will free yourself of your problems. You won't be standing and looking at them and wondering what to do, and you won't be hiding away from them and giving them a reality by trying to ignore them. You will know that cause alone, being God, can only produce that which is perfect, and therefore you are surrounded in perfection invisible. You must get to yourself now. This you. The pain you're feeling is felt where? In that 3 ounce of brain. But God is too pure to behold iniquity. How come your brain is beholding it? because you have learned to live in your brain. You were born into this consciousness. The human race completely was born into the consciousness which functions out of the brain and the thought that it sends to what is called the human mind. And your new consciousness is something quite different. It's no longer thinking out of the brain. It's coming over human thought. It's coming into a higher state of thought. It's coming into that which comes over the human mind, over the human brain, and thus it comes over this world, which is a creation of the world brain, the world belief. Now take your aches and your pains and look at them and see that God didn't cause them. And God is the only cause. And understand the nature of hypnosis. The hypnosis of the human brain is the cause of every belief that we entertain about evil in this world. World hypnosis individualizes as individual hypnosis, presenting to us that which has no cause. And as we respond to this causeless entity, we are hypnotized. Stop, he says, go within. The outside world is a state of hypnosis. The inner world is freedom. Now then, it's silly, in light of what he's telling us, to seek our true freedom by trying to control the forces of this world, by trying to meet them, by trying to dodge them, by trying to ignore them, by trying to, in some way, prevent them from hurting us. But instead, to cleanse the temple of your own thought. And when you read about a healing, don't stop there. That healing you read about, unless you have taken that healing as the end of every situation on this earth that is similar to that healing, you haven't caught the nature of it. One healing of a cripple is the statement to you that there is no such thing, and that every form which suffers of this is under its own hypnosis. When you hear about a blind man being healed, this is the teaching to you that there is no such thing on the earth. And this must become your consciousness. You cannot go from brain activity to the within without a change. And when you change directions, when you go within, you must leave the brain. When you're not going north but are going south, you're not going in the other direction at the same time. You can't go south and north simultaneously. You can't go within and still be in the brain. You can't serve these two masters. It's impossible. And so you must depart from that brain activity if you want to depart from the problem which the world presents. And so all of your reading is useless. Do you see that now? It's useless unless you use it for the purpose of being convinced that you must depart from this activity of the brain. Now, to love the world, then, is to maintain the activity of the brain, and therefore you maintain all of the world's activities in that brain. Your solution must be a decision to live within, consciously, by rejecting all of the visible defects of this world as impossible. And so every healing in the Bible is a whitewashing in your consciousness of the belief that these exist. There must never be in your consciousness the belief in deafness, ever. You must see it as a world effect coming forth as a state of hypnosis universally and then individualized in those people who show forth that particular state of hypnosis. You must see blindness as non-existent in your consciousness. You must see crippling as non-existent in your consciousness. You must see that God alone is cause. And this means that every time you read of a healing or hear of one, from that moment on, forever, never again in your consciousness must such a condition be considered possible. God being the only cause, there are no conditions in God of any nature. God is totally unconditioned. Now then, unless there is this change in your consciousness, unless you have come to the within and reunited with Source, that Source cannot translate itself into your outer experience. We're not going to get water through the hose unless it's connected to the tap. We must be one with our Source, and that can only be within. And then, as you're connected within, the yoke of the Father is easy. Your job is to connect within. The Father's job is to show you there is no pain, there is no cripple, there is no deaf man, there is no blind man. Your job is to let the Father show you, but the Father cannot show you if you are not connected to the Father. And so today we are turning to the point of recognition that the complete Christ ministry is to change the direction of the human race from one which is evolving physically and mentally to one which abandons its physical and mental development with the understanding that when it attains its spiritual reality, its physical and mental development will move in a different direction. Even that brain will then change with this new spiritual impulse from within. I in the midst of thee, I am the way. If your mind is stayed on I in the midst of thee, you are not listening to the human brain. You are dwelling in the presence. You're not concerned about healing a problem. Your mind isn't focused on how am I going to heal this, because that's the very activity which is preventing the healing. As long as your mind is trained on how will I pay my income taxes, how will I outsmart my competitor, how will I do things in this world, how will I improve anything in this world, you are in the brain activity and you're pushing your car up a hill. There must come that moment when you see that this is the purpose of the Christ ministry, which says, the Father within, he doeth the works. There must be that change in you which seeks only the Father. And then you will recognize that every ill in your life is there because you hadn't completely abandoned the idea of trying to live in two places. You wanted a bit of the Father, but you wanted a bit of the world. And you cannot go north and south simultaneously. You can try to, or think you can, but it's you who suffers. And so those of us who have felt within our hearts that what we want, above all, is to be that which I am, and to obey the Christ message, to find the Father, to be at one, well, we have our way. And those who prefer to straddle the fence, they have their way. What I am concerned with at this moment is that every student in this class know the difference between the way and the imitation way, the difference between the narrow gate and the wide gate, the difference between healing yourself of something and being at one with your source. Now, we probably can say that in the main, most of us are aware that being one with our source is the purpose of life. And there's no point in delaying it. If you're aware of it, this becomes the concentrated effort to be one with your source, to be one with cause, because only then can you come to the next step. And that is when you know that I am not effect. I am not even spiritual effect. I am the source. I am the cause. I am the one. And until you can come to this point of knowing that I am the way, I am the source, I am the cause, I am the one, I am the light, you're always going to cast a shadow, and that shadow is going to claim it's you. It's always going to have an ache in another place. You must be one with cause until cause swallows up the false identity. And the shadow self is swallowed up in cause and proclaims, I am the cause. Now, do you see that instant dismissal wouldn't accomplish this until you had reached the place where, as the cause, there's nothing left to dismiss? Now, I know that as you practice the withinness, your brain will put up a fight. It's like giving up something and having no place else to go.